Holy Gospel is written in the seventh chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark, beginning at the 31st verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the early 1980s, after decades of steady deterioration, the writer and academic John Hull lost his sight. As he adjusted to his new condition, he came to think of blindness as one of the great natural human conditions. It is, he wrote, just the way that some people are, and the world which blindness creates is one of the many human worlds which must all be put together if the human experience is to become entire. In fact, he said, to believe in the God of all being, who is Lord of all life, means that we have to put these worlds together because we need each other. And in today's gospel reading, we see Jesus enter into the world of a deaf man who also had an impediment in his speech. Jesus understands this man's communication issues, and he responds to him in ways which aim to minimize his distress and to maximize their ability to communicate. Jesus realizes that being in a crowd would have been disorientating for this man, so he takes him away from the crowd in order that they can communicate one to one. Then he uses the heightened senses that this man possesses, sight and touch, in order to communicate with him. As a hearing person with speech, Jesus could have stayed in his own world and sought to use words primarily to communicate, but instead he uses touch primarily and sight secondarily to mark the places that are then going to be unblocked and opened. When he heals, Jesus sometimes asks those that he heals, "Do you want to get well?" Now, this may seem a surprising question, yet if disabilities such as blindness or deafness do create their own worlds, then there is a choice to be made about which world to inhabit. John Hull discovered great insights through entering the world of blindness. So it may well be that when Jesus takes this man aside and perhaps asks him which world he wants to inhabit, on many occasions, when Jesus heals, the result of his healing is that the person healed is re-included into society generally and into the local community at the time. In Jesus' own time, many disabled people were excluded from the temple and forced to exist on the margins of society. So following many of his healings, Jesus sends the healed person to the priest in order that that person can then be reintegrated into society. Today, we realize that instead of needing to change the person in order to be inclusive, rather, we need to change society, both attitudinally and physically. Fiona McMillan chairs the Disability Advisory Group at St. Martin in the Fields. She says this: historically, the church has been amazing at caring for people on the edge of society. For hundreds of years, the church challenged, led, and changed society through its valuing of those who are powerless. It practiced faith in action by feeding, housing, and caring for people who otherwise would have suffered or died through poverty and sickness. But, she says, since the 1960s, the disability rights movement has campaigned for greater autonomy, and the church has been slower than society to respond to what is a significant sector of the population. In the UK today, there are about 11 million people living with a disabling physical, sensory, cognitive, or mental health condition, of whom 80% were born healthy and have had to learn to adjust. All of us spend our lives somewhere on a spectrum between the super fit athlete and the profoundly impaired person, moving and changing as a result of accident, illness, or aging. Disabled people may be an uncomfortable presence in a society lauding strength, but in the church, which professes a paradox of vulnerability, she says, we're often objects for pastoral attention rather than being agents of change. So the church of the 21st century frequently fails disabled people, hearing echoes of an understanding that links sickness with sinfulness, mental health issues with possession, and disability as being in need of cure. Pounced on by street pastors, spoken about rather than listened to, regarded as difficult or demanding, costly or time-consuming, it's not therefore surprising, she says, that many disabled people are put off going to church, even if they can get in, as would not be the case here. Access is often focused on getting in rather than joining in. It's about ramps and lifts, hearing loops and loos, with participation seen as being a step too far. We are, she says, more likely to be known by our needs than celebrated for our gifts. So Fiona is arguing that while the church has at times been effective in offering healing and care, it hasn't actually been anywhere near as effective in terms of inclusion, which was the overall aim of Jesus's healing ministry. We need to do more as the church to put our different worlds together, and as Jesus did, to enter the world of disabled people and then receive the gifts that are found in those worlds. As John Hull stated, we have to put those worlds together because we need each other. May it be the case for each one of us. Amen.